just need somebody who can give me a promotion or change my life for the better in some conspicuous way. I don't just need those folks. I need the folks who play any good role in my life. You need to live with that understanding.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Destined for Victory. Thanks for making this part of your day. Well, we're talking this week about the qualities Jesus admires in a man. The lesson is based on the story of the Roman centurion who demonstrated great faith during his conversation with Jesus in Matthew chapter 8. In fact, Jesus was quick to point out how uncommon this man's faith was. If you've missed either of Pastor Paul Shepherd's first two messages on this subject, you'll find them online at pastorpaul.net. That's pastorpaul.net. But stay with us now, because on today's broadcast, Pastor Paul reveals two more admirable qualities in this man, character traits to which all men of God should aspire. Here's Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message, Becoming a Man Jesus Admires.
Listen, think about the people in your life. They all have a role to play. And you need to care about those folks. They are real people. They are not just entities. They are people with lives and feelings. And you need to treat them with respect. Need to treat them with respect. I don't mistreat people who serve me food. I don't mistreat people who serve me food. And I don't let you sit with me when you do it. Soon as I know you're rude at the restaurant, this your last time eating with me. I'm serious about that. I have not invited people to ever eat with me again because of the way they showed the back part of their body. I'm trying to preach PG. Come on, help me, help me. Sit up there, act. It makes no sense on a couple of levels. Don't mistreat people, period. Even if they're rude to you, you don't have to be rude back. In fact, you can check them respectfully. I do. You're not going to get away with being rude to me, but I'm going to check you respectfully. I'm not going to call you out your name. I don't know your mama. I ain't talking about her. I'm going to get you straight, but I can do that respectfully. You need to treat people with respect. They deserve respect, even if they don't give that back to you. But say you have a server. That's a person making a living. And if they're not doing it well, correct them. See if you can help, but give them respect. And then the other thing is, y'all who show out at a restaurant, you don't know what they do when they leave your sight. It makes no sense. I'm going to fuss you. I'll tell you to bring me back what I asked, and I don't want to see you again till this is right. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Because a lot can happen from the kitchen on out to your table. Things can go on. But the bottom line is, people deserve respect, honor. They don't have to do what they do for you. If somebody does something seemingly insignificant for you, you need to respect it. Need to respect it. And do what you can to support people. I always think, as I deal with servant types in my life, I think, what would I want if I were in their position? And that's what you ought to do. And the centurion, sure, he could have taken a position that, you know, hey, if this servant dies, I'll just get another one, hire another one. No, no, no. He cared about this ill individual who served him. Romans 12:10 talks about us learning to prefer people above ourselves. Prefer, honor people above yourself. That's just the way you should live your life. It doesn't mean that you have low self-esteem. It just means in our interactions to show love and respect and care, you prefer people. If I get to the door first and people are coming behind me, I can go through first because I beat you to the door. But Romans 10:12 says, be a nice idea if I look behind me and open the door, and before I go through, say after you. It's just a simple way to live out Romans 10:12, to live the after you life. See, it's no put down on me that I put you ahead. In fact, I have to be secure in myself to put you ahead. And you who always got to be first, you got an issue going on you need to get resolved. You who get funky over everything. Well, where's that coming from? That's coming from somewhere. If you got that kind of knee-jerk reaction and always thinking somebody trying to get an angle on you, when you're driving, you're not getting around. Where's all that coming from? You're not in a big hurry at that moment. Just let them. Now, it would be nicer if they put on their turn signal and acknowledge and say, can I come in? I much prefer that. I'd like you to know I don't have to let you in here. So give me a little indication, man. Is it come right on in. And when you wave them in, show them all your fingers. Don't let one stick out. Trying to help y'all now. Keep y'all out of road rage situations. Do nothing. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. It's a discipline you bring into your life to be the way this centurion was. Just you place a value on people in a particular situation and say, I'm going to honor you by putting you above me, preferring you in this situation. See, strength doesn't always have to bogart. Strength can make provision for people. In fact, let me just mention this parenthetically. When you see the word meek in Scripture, when the Bible calls us to be meek, see, some people hate that. I'm not trying to be meek. You don't understand, meekness is strength under control. To be meek, the Bible says Jesus was meek. That doesn't mean he was weak. You can't be weak and be meek. To be meek, you have to be strong, but your strength is under control. I could handle this another way, but I choose to handle it the right way. I could beat you down, but instead, I'm going to speak respectfully to you and hope you learn the lesson that I'm sharing by my example. So Jesus admired this man, and one of the admirable things is that he cared about people. And men, we who are married, we have people to care for. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. You've got to love your wife. It's a choice you make. You love her. And love means you're going to act in her best interest. Love means you're going to take good care of her. In fact, later in that passage, he goes on to talk about in the same way Christ treats the church, that's the way you want to treat your wife. Christ takes good care of us as saints. So the Bible says, man who is married, take good care of your wife. Bless her every chance you get. Do something good for her every chance you get. Not tit for tat, well, listen, what's she done for me lately? No, that's not the approach you take. You do something good because it is good to be good. It's nice to be nice. And it reflects the love of the Christ. And so we have to learn, take good care of our wives. Love them. The Bible says, husband, love your wife. Notice, it never says, wives, love your husbands. Not in this passage anyway. It doesn't say, wives, love your husbands. What it tells the wives to do is submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Understand that God has placed the authority and the responsibility on him for the welfare of the family. So submit to him. Come under that place where you honor the place God has given him. And later on in the Ephesians 5 passage, it says, wives, respect your husbands. One of the challenging areas is wives giving respect. One of the challenging areas for husbands is husbands giving love. So it says, husband, love your wife. It says, wife, respect your husband. Respect your husband. When you see the man growing, respect him. When you see the man doing the right thing, respect him. When you see the man righting the wrongs in his life, you can harp on the wrong if you want. When you see somebody willing to get right, You want to respect that.
You are listening to Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. We'll be back to the rest of today's message in just a moment. As you may know, Destined for Victory is a listener-supported ministry, one that depends on your prayers and financial support to reach the world for Christ. You can give right now by calling 855-339-5500. That's 855-339-5500. Or make a safe and secure donation online at PastorPaul.net. And when you log on, be sure to check out our online store for our special DVD offer, plus books and other teaching series from Pastor Paul. You'll also find information about how you can become a Destined for Victory partner for as little as $20 a month. Again, that's PastorPaul.net, your online home for Destined for Victory. Now, here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's message, Becoming a Man Jesus Admires.
You know, people say these false things that aren't biblical. Well, people need to earn respect. The Bible doesn't say that. Sometimes you give respect with the hope that they will come up to the place they ought to be. I'm going to respect you, and I hope you will learn one day to get to a place where I couldn't have any other response but to respect you. But right now, I respect you out of choice. This is a good message. I'd encourage myself sometime when y'all are like, never really thought of that. Not sure what I think about that. That's all right. It's in the book. It's a good thing about being a Bible preacher. When you leave people fussing, they got to fuss with the book. I'm just a mailman. Get mad at me because you don't like the letter. And the fourth and final thing that was admirable about the centurion is that he recognized the authority of Christ. Look at what he said to Jesus. Well, Jesus first said to him, verse 7 of our text, Jesus said, I'll go and heal your servant. The centurion, look at the centurion's reply. He said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Watch this. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes. I tell this one, do this, and he does it. He is a man who recognized authority when he saw authority because he lives in the world of authority. He's a Roman soldier. He says, I'm a man under authority, and I'm a man of authority. And I know who you are. And he says, you so outrank me, Jesus, that I don't even deserve to have you come to my house. Man, I like that. He said, you so outrank me. I mean, you are at a level where how dare I suggest that I should be so chummy with you as to expect you to come to my house. He says, but because I know the authority you have, do me a favor, sir, and just speak the word. And I know that your word has authority in it, and my servant will be healed. That's the faith that Jesus admired in this man. This man knew Jesus had authority over sin, over sickness, over disease. He had authority over things that we cannot control ourselves. And he says to Jesus, please, sir, exercise your authority and just speak the word. He's a man who understood, who recognized the authority of Christ. Man, I want to say, as I wrap up this message, it is important for you to understand that Christ has authority over everything that would hinder you from being all that you should be. He has authority over any addiction in your life. I say this not just to men, I say it to anybody. If you have something trying to bind you, Christ has authority to set you free. Do not be bound by something that Jesus could speak out of your life. And it doesn't have to be drugs. It doesn't have to be cigarettes. It doesn't have to be alcohol. It can be sinful anger. Jesus has authority to bring you into a place where you're transformed and where you can practice self-control and you can be angry without sinning. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He doesn't want you to be an out of control man or woman for that matter. I'm speaking to everybody. He doesn't want you to be out of control. Have you ever met these people who said, man, I tell you what, he's fine when everything's good, but ooh, when he get mad. That shouldn't be said about you. Why? Because Jesus doesn't want that in your life, and so he has the authority to speak it out of your life, to transform you by his power. Do not let a little cigarette that you know is killing you slowly dictate your life. Don't let it be that strong. I heard a preacher sharing his testimony. He said, I was preaching, I was anointed, I was everything, but cigarettes had a hold of me. I started when I was a kid, sneaking, smoking, trying to blow the smoke out the window of the house so my mom wouldn't smell it. And he said, it was just a secret addiction. As I moved into adulthood, I was addicted to it. For a while, I tried to give it up, but then I went right back to it. And he said, I was called of God, God's hand on my life. I'm preaching, blessing people, but I was secretly smoking. And he said, and the man I submitted to as my pastor, one day my cigarettes fell out of my pocket in his presence. He said, I thought he's going to rebuke me, tell me I couldn't preach anymore and all that. He said, he just looked at me. He said, you know what? I see God's hand on you. I see where God's taken you. Amazing things are in your future. And he said, it would be a shame for you to let something that little hinder you on your journey to greatness. He says, always said, after that, we just kept on hanging out because he had planted the seed of truth. And he said, finally, the day came after that where I said, yeah. He said, I looked at a cigarette and I heard him saying, it would be a shame for you to let something that little hinder you on your journey. He said, and I gave him up. And the Lord delivered me. Listen, he can do that for you. Whether it's cigarettes, whether it's alcohol. And you might have to go through a process. You might not have an instantaneous deliverance. Some people have a testimony. One day God just zapped them and bam, something was gone. Some, there might be people in this audience and you say, that's happened. I gave it up. One day it was gone. Whether it was alcohol or cigarettes or drugs. Bam. That's great. If that's your testimony, praise God. Not everybody gets a bam. Some people get a process. But I don't care if it's a bam or a process. Walk the journey out of anything that would hinder you from being your best. God is able to do it. God is able to do it. God can bring newness into every area of your life. I spoke with someone earlier this week, said, I need you to call me when nobody else is around. And I'm going to call you when nobody's around me because we need to talk. I've gotten enough of those calls to know. This man began to share with me about an addiction in his life that was shameful. He loved God, wanted to see the best things happen. And he said, God's been so good to me. But even in the midst of seeing how God is blessing me, I still find this trying to ruin. He said, I can see where God's taking me, and this is trying to ruin it. And he said, I just wanted to do what the Bible says. I wanted to confess that to you and see what you would share with me. The Lord gave me some words to share with him. And he said, man, I can't tell you how much that helps me. Listen, man, it is an admirable thing when you refuse to let something destroy your life. Don't let anything hinder you from being the best you can be. Don't let shame keep you from being the best you can be. And at the end of the day, why should I be ashamed when I find trusted people? Because they got their own stuff that God's had to bring them through. At the end of the day, don't worry about it. But what people going to think? They think whatever they want. What you need to do is get free. You need to get free. Because when you get free, what they going to say then? They can talk about, well, you used, I remember when. You know, when you find people who love to live in yesteryear, Yeah, but you see him now, but honey, I knew the time. When you see somebody like that, you know that they're jacked up. I'm serious. When you find somebody who loves to talk about other people's past, they're jacked up. Nobody who has enjoyed the grace of God in his or her own life wants to reflect on somebody else's life that God has brought by that same grace. Don't talk to me about somebody's past. I'd rather talk about their present or their future. Don't bring up their past. Talk about present, talk about the future. If the present's not good, let's talk about the future. Say, well, God has the power. Now, I've told you before, don't let folk come to gossip into you. Make them pray. That'll change it real quick.
Do you want to be a man Jesus admires? Seek him out humbly and diligently. Ask him for help. Treat others as if they are more important than yourself. And finally, recognize the absolute authority of Jesus Christ. These are the qualities Jesus admires in a man, and the best part is, he will help you become that man if you ask him to. Pastor Paul is here with me in the studio now. I don't know about you, Pastor, but I can't believe how fast summer came upon us. But it is here, and it's a time of year when most of us take a little break and enjoy some vacation with family or friends. But for ministries like Destined for Victory, there isn't any downtime, is there?
No, there isn't, Wayne. We're always producing messages and making them available across the country and around the world. So the bottom line is, we never stop. Destined for Victory is truly a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week ministry. And that's why I wanted to take a moment and ask each of our listeners to be faithful in giving to Destined for Victory this summer. God has blessed us, and I'm completely humbled by how he's using this media ministry to help build his kingdom. But the fact is, we simply can't do it without those of you who support us financially. Therefore, would you consider giving your best gift right now to help us get through the challenging months ahead? Your generous support will not only help make up for those who may forget us this summer, but it'll also ensure that we continue bringing these timely messages your way. If you'll give a generous gift of $25 or more this month, I'll send you a special DVD that I know will bless your soul. In a moment, Wayne will share the details. But first, let me say a heartfelt thank you. Thanks for your generosity and your partnership. It's needed now more than ever. And I want you to know that I'm praying that God's blessings be yours in abundance.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Paul. This is a great resource, friends. And in appreciation of your generous gift of $25 or more this month, we'll be happy to send it to you. It's Pastor Paul Shepherd's DVD, Blessings You Don't See Coming. Let me ask a question. Have you ever done a kindness for someone, maybe a small thing that you didn't think all that much about, and then seemingly, out of nowhere, God blessed you in an unexpected way? Well, that's the way he works. You may not even remember doing it, but he never forgets it, and he always rewards it. In this two-part video sermon by Pastor Paul, you'll be reminded that when we do life God's way, when we prioritize his kingdom and walk in wisdom and humility, God sees it and God blesses it. Again, that's the Blessings You Don't See Coming DVD. It's one of Pastor Paul's most powerful and popular messages, and it's yours by request for your best gift of $25 or more this month. Please call 855-339-5500 right now. Or send your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also give safely and securely online at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net.
I want to let you know God has a plan for each one of our lives, a plan for us, a purpose for us. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which the Father prepared in advance for us to do.
That's next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, No Time to Waste. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.